It's not being fruitful. It's not being effective. Okay? We're blessed that we have ministers who are willing to minister to us, but we have to do something with that. Okay, go ahead. The order to be observed, this comes from that apostolic, the apostolate of the lay people. We are the church. You and I, we are the church, but we have to recognize where we are in the church. Okay? This is very much a part of being Catholic. We struggle with this because it's not a democracy. We want everything to be a democracy, right? Or at least just everything be in agreement with me because I'm smarter than everybody else. Okay, but that's not the way it works. Okay? The lay apostolate, individual or collective, must be set in its true place within the apostolate of the whole church. Okay? We can't ignore the authority of our bishops, our priests, our deacons, our DREs, our ministers, okay? They have been called to a certain calling. We have a calling too, but there's order to that. And that order was created, and it was created for a purpose. We need to respect that because that's God's plan, okay? You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plan, right? God has a plan. It works. Acts of the Apostles, this is actually Paul talking to the Ephesians, and he says, keep watch, he's talking to the leaders of the Ephesians, keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock. Again, we go back to the flock and the tending of sheep. Okay, the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God that he acquired by his own blood. Okay, there's authority there. We might not always agree with what that authority says, what they do. You have to respect it, though. I was very blessed. I grew up in a parish that had a Monsignor. We had a Monsignor, Monsignor Henry Emicus. And his family owned the land that we eventually built the church and the grade school and the high school and the rectory and the convent on. And this man just loved this parish. And he was promoted to the level of Monsignor. And so I grew up knowing that there was a hierarchy. There were priests, and then there was Monsignor, who was above the priest. And this Monsignor was the holiest man I had ever met. And so it stood to reason that he should be higher than the rest because he was so darn holy. He was just a marvelous man. And so in my simple mind, Monsignor is holier than a priest, and a bishop must be holier than the Monsignor, and a cardinal must be even holier. And so by the time I got over to the magisterium and the pope, these men were really, really special because of how special that one man was in my life, that Monsignor. So I just grew up with this appreciation for the hierarchy of the church. Some people did not have that same experience, okay? But as I dug into my faith, as an RCIA teacher, as I began to read the catechism, as I strongly encourage you to do, and read these documents of Vatican II, I gained an incredible appreciation for our church, one that I already had, but when I started to see the actual teaching of the church, it just came alive for me. And I encourage you all to do that. That's what adult faith formation is for me. Okay, as I come to have more faith in the church, okay, I get closer to God, because I get more comfortable with it. That hierarchy is there for a reason. God gave it to us. What do we have? We're going to do an anointing, okay? Anointing is a powerful thing. We were all anointed at baptism with the oil of salvation. We were anointed twice at baptism, the oil of salvation and the sacred chrism. When we were anointed with the sacred chrism, we were anointed priest, prophet, and king. All of you were. When we were anointed at confirmation, again, the bishop brought out the sacred chrism, and we were anointed, and he said, be sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I'm going to ask our ordained and our ecclesiastic, our ministers, to come forward and anoint us again. It's not the sacred chrism. It's not going to smell that good. That's the best smelling stuff I've ever smelled, okay? It's blessed oil. And I'm going to ask them to come forward and bless us. And this is symbolic of this church that we're blessed with. Okay, they have worked hard. We need to work equally as hard to carry out our vocation. And we're going to ask them to come forward so they can bless us and anoint us and send us forth. Do I have anything after that, Bob? We're going to sing a song while we're being, or when we're being anointed too. So the words will be up on the screen. Just come up just like we did last week for ashes. And just hold both hands out and they will anoint your hands with the words and the reminder that God has no hands but your hands. And the song that we're going to sing is a song called the Servant Song. If you know it, please join in. Skip a couple there. Thank you, Nancy. I was trying to figure out how to do that. And she's a mom. Dads would have said, oh, we'll just skip it. But mom said, we'll figure out a way to do this. Why Christian? Conversion. Personal relationship with God. Divine revelation. Holy Trinity. Redemption. Salvation. Sanctification. And Christ Church. That's all Christian. That's what we've talked about in these first 2 weeks. Why Catholic? Go ahead, Bob. One word. Eucharist. As I've said before, if we spend the rest of our lives trying to understand and appreciate the Eucharist, that's a life well spent. Next week, we're going to talk about the Eucharist. We're going to devote 2 hours to it. Will we get there? I don't know. I hope so. Next week, I've already talked about in the first two sessions some of my many second favorite passages from the Bible. Next week, I get to my favorite passage. Okay, why? Because it has to do with the Eucharist. Please come next week. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate those of you, especially who came last week and this week. Next week, bring a friend. Bring a friend who goes to Mass and thinks it's kind of boring, okay, doesn't quite get it, doesn't quite understand what we do. because what we do on Sunday is so magnificent. What we have a chance to do every day is so magnificent, and we owe it to ourselves to understand it. You've been anointed, and it actually smells pretty good, okay? I remember there was a confirmation up in Michigan. Our nephew was confirmed, and there were like 110 kids being confirmed. It was a real big parish, and the bishop, you know how some bishops, they just kind of dip their thumb just a little bit in the chrism and they anoint them. This bishop stuck his thumb in there and pulled it out dripping wet and smeared across their forehead and said, "Be sealed with the Holy Spirit." Kids were coming back in tears because it's dripping down into their eyes, and the fragrance of that church was just incredible. And those kids will never forget their confirmation. I will never forget their confirmation. It didn't sting for me. But anyway, we've been anointed, okay, priest, prophet, and king. And there's a very, very special blessing that I want to close with today. It's a prayer. It's not one of my prayers. It's actually from Ephesians. It's one of Paul's prayers. And I stumbled across this, and reading the notes in my own Bible here, learning from this, I found out that the book of the Ephesians may not have been written to the Ephesians. Okay, it may have been called what was called a cyclical letter. The scholars believe that it was written by Paul when he was in jail, and he wrote a letter, and he gave it to a messenger and said, "Take this to all the towns that you go to. Whenever you find the leader of that town who's going to spread the word and the gospel and the good news to everyone else, read this letter. Give this letter to them and let them read it." Okay, and if that's the case, if Paul really didn't know who this letter was intended or who was going to read this letter that we're about to read and this prayer that we're about to read was intended as much for us today as it was for the people in Ephesus 2,000 years ago. And I love that thought because it's a beautiful prayer. And I want to close tonight with this prayer for you. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you in accord with the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Father God, we just thank you for all the blessings that you pour out upon us. We thank you for this time together tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the teaching. We thank you for the visible sign of your presence here among us through our church. We ask that you be with us and help to guide us to the mystery, through the mystery of your church. Help us to understand our call and to be instruments of your peace. Help us to let all those who come in contact with us know that we are believers, that we are called by you, and that we give you the glory. And we pray together as a family, as a church, in the words that our Savior gave us, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.